Our Father, we know that only Thy blessed Holy Spirit can minister to us this hour. We've come together to share our own Gethsemane, to drink the cup of sorrow that You have offered to us, and which we receive thankfully, if sorrowfully. We pray that the Spirit of Christ may minister to each heart here according to the need. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is a very precious moment. I've been in such services for over 30 years, conducting them, ministering. I cherish this opportunity, because I know that the Spirit of Christ ministers comfort and blessing to our hearts in the moment of our sorrow. There is no moment in your life when Christ shall be so gloriously near as in the moment of suffering, because that was the climax of his own life. He came to his Gethsemane, and we come to ours. He says, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? We have a cup today here, and we'll drink it together. It is a cup of communion. If the communion is precious to us in the death of our Lord Jesus, how precious also the communion that we share in the death of our loved ones. This is a moment of communion. This is a moment of remembrance, not with a cup of liquid, but with a precious life which follows our Lord in the dying of this life. This is a world of death. It's a world of dying. It was so from the moment of the fall. The death of our Lord was a dying process. It was not just the moment on the cross that was important. Not just that. It was the dying that he experienced from the moment of his birth. Jesus shared the dying experience with us. He died all during his life. His outer man was perishing. Not so much in the decadence, the decaying of the mortal flesh. That's not so much as the diminishing of the earthly in order to release the heavenly. The setting aside of the natural in order to manifest the spiritual. That's what the cross is. It was the cross to Christ. It is also the cross to us. We too die daily, as Paul did. This is a life of dying. Robert Murray McShane said, "Lord, let me speak as a dying man to dying men." We are dying not just in the physical sense, but we who follow Christ take up our cross daily. What does that mean? That means that every day of our lives, as members of the family of Christ, we are experiencing the death of the self. The death of earthly ambitions, the death of our egos. These are things that are dying in us as the life of Christ is being manifest in us. This is the essence of the grace of Christ. The abundant grace of Christ flows through us. We have a common definition, and we say grace is the unmerited favor of God. Well, it works as a definition to some purpose, but understand this. Grace of God is like a gift. It is intrinsic in a gift that it is not merited, right? We don't earn the gift, but it is not in good taste to remind the recipient of that. You don't give your gifts this season and say on the tag, even though you don't deserve it, I'm giving you this gift. It is intrinsic in the gift that we don't deserve it. But our Lord was too much of a gentleman to make that a primary point in his gift. Now the reason I want to say that is that I want you to see, I want you to understand the river of God's grace flowing through mortal persons, flowing through dying servants of Christ, dying people. And in that flow, the love of Christ is being manifest. So rather than seeing grace as unmerited favor, if we can see it, as the Bible speaks of it, as a river of God's benevolence flowing through us all. A river. John says, speaking of this grace, of his grace have all we received, and grace for grace. That means grace succeeding grace. Grace flowing. Now, there's a purpose for speaking in these terms on this occasion. I knew well, as well as a young man like myself can know, Josephine Lewis. She came with her husband, Herbert, to Bible classes that I had for many, many years. It was always a marvelous word of encouragement and a lift, always remembering us in prayer, always speaking so graciously. I want you to, not to eulogize, which I think she would not like, but to catch a spirit of something here. This is not one who went about doing good deeds. That's not the issue. We're not lifting her up to say, now she was a marvelous example of good works, go and do likewise. That's not the point. The point is that the grace of Christ flowed through her life. It wasn't her grace, and she would be the first to admit that. It wasn't her own brand of love that went out to the people. It was the love of Christ through the channel, see? The light of God had shined in her heart. The treasure was an earthen vessel because the excellency of the power must be of God and not of us, and not of her. She would delight to have me say these things to you today. She knows, of course. She no doubt experiences this, would you? But I have great confidence that she would delight to have me say these things to you for her. Not to lift her up, but let you realize that it was not Josephine Lewis going about doing good works. It was the Spirit of Christ flowing through an earthen vessel. And she walked among the people of earth in love and kindness. Not threatening, not cajoling, not challenging, just going among them in grace and kindness. And a grace and kindness that was not her own, as she would be the first to admit. And that's why I say she delights to have me say this to you, because she knows so well the truth of what I'm saying. Challenges are often in the flesh. To say, here is the challenge, let's go and meet it, may be seeing it with human eyes. To outline a work to do for the cause of Christ and go to do it can have a great deal of the flesh in it. When we see through the eyes of the Spirit, we don't see at all in human terms. The more we are able to define and classify the vision, the less likely it is of the Spirit. We don't know what we see, but the Spirit and love of Christ moves through us to do what He sees to do. You see that? You don't know what your task is always. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, you are moving among His people with whatever it is that He wants to say to them. In the same spirit I speak to you today, not presenting logical ideas for you to contemplate, but trusting that the Spirit of Christ is using these words in His own way in each of your hearts. It's like a painting. You stand in front of a painting. The artist has put his soul into it, but he has not been giving a message to the world. He's been saying what is in his heart. Whether the people who look at his painting see what he saw in it is immaterial. He doesn't really care. The same with music. The musician puts his soul into it. He knows that people get different things from his music. as the artist knows that people see different things, each according to his experience. As we come today to fellowship together in the sufferings of Christ, and as we speak together, each of you receives what is said in your own way. It means different things to each of you, as Josephine Lewis meant different things to each of you. The Spirit ministered through her to each one according to the need. In a sense, that's what's happened at Pentecost, when everyone heard in their own tongue. That was prophetic. The use of words is a very difficult thing because people bring different experiences to the words. Different knowledge. Everybody hears words differently. Like a painting. In a way, what we're saying here is like an abstract painting. You hear it with your own ears as the Spirit touches your own hearts. This is the essence of Josephine's life. Not to be given some challenge that she checks off like a check chart and says, today I do this and tomorrow I do that and the next day I do something else. No. It was a life poured out. Paul says, if I be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice. The English text says, if I be offered up on the sacrifice. But the Greek expression there, if I be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice. Each of us, possessing the Spirit of Christ, is poured out as a drink offering. Our life is meaningful as the Spirit ministers through us. Not as we conceive a service and do it, but as the Spirit ministers through us. And some look at their life and they say, what am I doing? They hear the challenges from the pulpit and they think, oh, I can't go there. I can't do anything. I can't give any money. I want to say to you today that the Spirit of Christ is being poured out through you. The grace of Christ is flowing through you, and you touch people around you. In your praying, there is nothing in the world more effective than praying, and praying is something you can do right up to your last breath. Every one of you here today may be encouraged and strengthened to understand that the grace of Christ is flowing through you as it did through Josephine. Not because you're grand, not because you're anything marvelous, not because you're virile and dynamic and challenged and all the rest of it, but because you're a child of God. You're a vessel of clay. All of us can be that. A vessel of clay through whom the Spirit of Christ flows. But you don't see through earthly eyes, what your ministry is. I don't think Josephine really thought in terms of, this is my ministry. I think she just ministered. That can be a glorious, precious thing for you, not to go out and do something, but to be a channel of the Spirit of Christ. There's a world around you. We don't see the need. We don't understand the need. We can't define the need. The lines of a poem that we contemplated recently of one who sought to know what the Spirit saw. And he first comes to a plateau where he sees the city laid out before him. He sees the lights of the city and he thinks how splendid. And then he thinks, there are souls underneath that are dark. There is death under there. There is sin. There is wretchedness. But still he had not seen what God sees. He'd seen through earthly eyes. When finally he comes to the eagle's nest and he peers out into the abyss to see, if he can, what God sees, he says, "I know not what I saw. I only know I could not cease to sob." You may not know what your work is. You may not be able to define it. But that's because we're earthen vessels. If we really are able to define it, we probably are not seeing as God sees. When we see through the eyes of the Spirit, we don't know what we see. Because if we know what we see, we twist it with our minds, our own mental apparatus. But the Spirit sees through us. The Spirit knows what to do with us. And we just live each day letting the Spirit do what He will through us. I wanted to speak this way because this reflects what Josephine was like. She was a representative of this feeling that just the Spirit of Christ ministering through her in kindness. Go in kindness among the people of earth. God sees not so much sinful wretches as He sees children tormented in the crucible of Satan. And He wants us simply to walk among these tortured children in the grace and love of Christ. Then it is that we can know the blessing of the treasure in an earthen vessel. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Then it is that we see through the eyes of the Spirit. Let these thoughts comfort your hearts today. Know that broken vessel, clay vessel though we may be, the Spirit of Christ flows through us. He loves people through us. We don't love people. Christ's Spirit loves them through us. It passes through this clay track and touches people when we don't even know it. So His love flows through us. In spite of the earthen vessel, the broken pottery, because His love flows best through broken hearts. May the Spirit take these words and use them to minister to our hearts today in this moment of fellowship. I'm going to ask John Santos to come now and sing for you that marvelous hymn, Amazing Grace. I want you to sense what we've talked about, the flow of God's grace through the earthen vessel. And it's your experience too. You're not special. I'm not special. We're just clay vessels. It is the Spirit of Christ that is special. I think Josephine would share with me the lines I'm going to say to you, just a few lines. I go not grandly to the grave, but meekly meet the Master of the universe. With broken heart and head bowed low, I stand in tattered rags of my own righteousness and contemplate the meager service here below and beg from Him His garments pure and clean. I know not how He views my life, but this I know. I shall not give the victory shout until He bids me lift my head and gives Himself the welcome accolade until I know at last that He is satisfied. Our Father, You've been with us this moment, here in this place as we've shared together the fellowship of Your sufferings, the cup of sorrow that we also drink. May now the Spirit lift our hearts, give us peace, grace, as we share this moment in our memories for the rest of our days and throughout eternity. And we pray for comfort for the family beyond themselves, beyond the poor power of these words to comfort. In Christ's name, amen. Now, this concludes the service for Josephine Lewis. The interment will be private. What the family would like, and I would like, is that this moment be locked in your memory, that we slip out now quietly. Not going to have a procession. We're just going to slip out and let the meaning of this moment be with you. You'll have a chance to greet the family later. We would like you just to let the grace of Christ go with you in this moment.